Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today.
Welcome, executives, to the Sports Film Pitch, part of the Sports History Network, where Hollywood's next sports movies start. We're going to give you a true sports story, and you tell us whether we should make that movie into the next great blockbuster. Today, we have a diplomatic, spy, political, crazy kind of story that revolves around one game, one sport, table tennis, or ping pong, as more widely known as. And let's get into this great pitch.
China, America, two countries with only one common ground. The game of ping pong, the game that will open the two countries up to communication with Ben Wolfhard and Simu Wu. Sports Film presents The Pong Heard Round the World, coming this Thursday.
Casting for The Pong Heard Round the World. We'll get into that name of the title of the movie, but for the casting, this is one where I think we can get it right on the nail, on the coffin. It's going to be a great cast, and it's going to be fun. So, there's going to be two main characters that we follow, and then two supporting characters we'll give in. But you may not even need it, because you can kind of picture these guys. They're big names. But I'm going to give you guys that have either played them or just kind of looked like. And I think you're going to really enjoy the casting for this. So, first one is Glenn Cowan. Now, Glenn is just a hippie guy, long black hair, skinny guy, loves ping pong, teenager, young guy, you know, Jewish descent from New York, and is a young ascending guy in ping pong for the U.S., although that doesn't mean a whole lot in the world of ping pong, because U.S. is only, at this time, 24th in the world in ping pong, so being pretty good and making the U.S. team in ping pong doesn't mean you're the greatest in the world, but it means you're competing. Who would play this guy? Well, let's think about a guy that's used to playing period pieces, going back in time a little bit. Skinny guy, black hair, big nose. Who fits that? Ben Wolfhard, Mike from Stranger Things. He also is Richie in the It movies, and in Ghostbuster Afterlife, he plays Trevor, one of the main characters in that. So this guy is like becoming a phenomenon. Like seriously, he's been in so many things just as a young kid. His filmography is actually pretty impressive for how young he is. And that's great for the movie to have that kind of star. Just, we're going to put a side-by-side comparison on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Go check it out. He looks just like Glenn Cowan. I saw Glenn Cowan and I was like, well, we got to cast Finn. Who else would fit this? He looks like him. Finn is also has Jewish descent, just like Glenn did. And they're both skinny, can play that hippie type. I know he's used to playing characters. Finn is used to playing characters in the 80s, but he can also play characters, you know, a little older, but understands like it's a different era and how to act differently in that different era. And I think he can pull this off fantastically. So that is one of the main characters. The second main character And we're going to cast Zemo Leo in this role. And a lot of you superhero fans might recognize that name. He is one of the newer superheroes in the MCU. He plays Shang, or Shang-Chi, in Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings. But you may have also seen him in Kim's Confidential, a little series that ran for a little bit. And has also been on Netflix. Also made guest appearances, Nora from Queens, Fresh Off the Boat, and had a role on the Taken TV show, which meant he had a particular set of skills. But he is an up-and-coming actor. He was actually cast, surprisingly, in the Marvel Universe, kind of a little lesser known, but has comedy and can play the nice guy. You really see that nice guy come out. And Zedong, sorry if I butcher these Chinese names. I'm not Chinese. Middle-aged white guy. What am I going to do? He is from Chinese descent, so that fits that he's playing a Chinese ping pong player. And is one of the best in the world. Is kind of known as, at this time, the leader of the Chinese team. And because of this, he needs to be able to have that charismatic quality that you can see in this character to be able to lead, because he is actually the character that really pushes this story to have predominance. If his actions were different, this story would not happen. So that's very important for this role. And now we get to the two major political figures that we're going to cast in this movie. The first one is old Tricky Dick, Richard Nixon. Now, what I went for this one was a little bit different. I was looking at actors that have actually played Richard Nixon in movies, which has happened actually quite a bit. There have been many well-known actors. There have been movies such as Frost Nixon. This was when Nixon was actually president. So he's a little bit younger, in his middle age. And so I was thinking, what actor could really fit this that has actually played him before? And the actor that I came across was John Cusack. Say anything, John Cusack. Because in your eyes, I feel complete. Your eyes, I feel your eyes, I am complete. Yes, the Say Anything John Cusack, of course, has been in so many other movies. Way too many to name. Kind of just a big deal, such as, you know, 2012, Serendipity, High Fidelity, Hot Tub Time Machine. Any guy that's been in Hot Tub Time Machine, you know, is a good actor. Fact. Right? No, he plays Richard Nixon in Lee Daniels' The Butler. So he's just a small cameo role, not a major role, but I think in this it would be nice. And he's going to have not a lead character role, but he's going to have a persuasive role in this movie. And I think that's important as well. So I think he fits that. He can do the voice. I think it'd be kind of fun to do. Now for Mao Zedong, the leader of China, who would we get to play? And the actor, I think, really fits how Mao Zedong looked at the time. Kind of a bigger, fluffier guy. Well, why don't we get Wong from the MCU? Yes, we're calling from the MCU again. Let's get Wong. The character that's in all the Doctor Strange movies and makes appearances in many other movies as well throughout the MCU, including most recently the She-Hulk series on Disney Plus. And he can play funny, he can play enjoyable, but he's got the look of Mao Zedong. And I think we can recreate that famous picture that Nixon and Mao Zedong have with these two actors. Nixon and Mao Zedong are going to be a little bit more out there. They're not the main focal point, but they're going to influence the main focal point. And let's get into the movie. That's going to be a very different sports movie. So we're going to open the movie with some kind of music montage type thing showing the differences of the two countries at the time. This is the early 70s when this is going to take place. Cold War, communism is going on. The growth of communism, the worry of communism in America, all this is going on, and we're going to intercut it with ping pong. And the reason why is communism has a very unique connection to ping pong. It is kind of an odd connection. The two largest communist countries at the time, Soviet Union, or Russia, and China, were very big into ping pong. This can be taken a few different ways. One, it's just a very easy sport to maintain and conduct in small locations. And it's just really easy to kind of enjoy as a novice player or a professional world competitor. So there's a lot of connection to both Russia and China to ping pong. America, we're a democracy, have always been a democracy. We don't have as much connection to ping pong in that way, but we are able to, you know, enjoy sports. We are a sports focused country, especially, you know, by the time we get to the 70s, we're very focused into world sports and competing around the world in different sports all over the place. And in this montage, we're going to mention that it's been almost 20 years since China and the United States have had really any diplomatic communications or connections of any kind. There's not a whole lot of relations, not a lot of economic relations, diplomatic relations. It's bad blood, you know, due to them becoming a communist regime and America being very anti-communist at this time. This time it is the Cold War, where we're very worried about Russia, China, all those countries being communist, as well as having nuclear capabilities. And so it's a very scary time in the world. And we're a little bit at odds too. Ever since the Korean War, which pit North and South Korea against each other in a civil war, China obviously backed the North and we backed the South. And so really that kind of split our two sides and we haven't really gained a connection back. But that brings us to, flash across screen, the 31st World Table Tennis Championship in Nagoya, Japan. Held every year, neutral site. Any team is able to join, just like the Olympics, whether, no matter your diplomatic structure, your government structure, you're able to play in these tournaments for the world to compete against each other. At the time, China, one of the best table tennis countries in the world, and America, top 25. We're getting better. We're not number one. We're not really challenging for medals, but we're participating, and we're obviously not the worst in the field as well. And be advised, this movie is not really going to be hugely involved into the table tennis matchups of it. We're going to show table tennis happening. We're going to show China, you know, dominating this tournament, of course, and America, you know, participating. And what really happens is, you know, they're about to have a practice. We're getting ready for the actual championships, the actual events. And we have Glenn Cowan, you know, Finn Wolfhard's character. He misses the bus to go to practice in a different country. And he's kind of a hippie-like guy, just goes with the flow. So he just hops onto the next bus he can. And that next bus is going to be populated with the China table tennis team. And it's a kind of an awkward moment for both sides a little bit. Glenn being a little bit more hippie, go with the flow type of guy. He doesn't really care. And he doesn't know, other than their uniforms, that they're from China. And he just knows that they're a great table tennis team. He doesn't think about the implications of structure or, you know, we're not liking them in a political view. He looks at them, hey, those are other table tennis players and they're great table tennis players. And the China team is looking at him like, why is he doing this? It's like him crossing the border or him coming more of a combative thing, because they look at Americans as being very anti-China. And he's so much not anti-China, he doesn't even really care. He's just trying to get a bus to practice. So while on the bus, the Chinese team notice that Glenn is a ping pong player. Probably from the ping pong paddle he has with him. I don't know any other way you can see a ping pong player. So Zedong, who's Sim Lu, is playing, makes contact, starts talking to him, asking about how he's doing, how the tournament's going, how excited he is for everything coming up, how's practice. He talks about ping pong, because what else is there that you need? It's ping pong. And they talk on this bus ride until they get to the venue for practice. And before they leave, Zedong actually gives Glenn a picture, or a silk screen portrait, actually is what it is, of a mountain range in China. And he shakes his hand. And Glenn actually responds, like, wanting to give him something back in return. And he looks, and all he has is a bag of combs. And it's like, I can't just give him a bag of combs. And tells him that, I can't give you this. But wait, I want to give you something. Just wait a little bit. Next time I see you, I'll give you something. And actually, when he got off the bus, there was like paparazzi from China in there, because China ping pong is huge, and they actually have not been playing in this tournament for 6 years. And so they were back, and they were huge. And it's like, why is this American on this bus? And it gets paparazzi, it gets in the news, it gets everyone talking in America and China. And we cut to the two leaders, Mao Zedong and Tricky Dick Nixon, getting news of the ping pong teams conversing and having conversations. And they see this as an opportunity, each of them, to connect with the other country. These two countries follow each other. They know their powers in the world, and they want to still connect, but they don't know how. It's like they're stubborn, and they want the other one to fall down. They want the other one to make the first move. They're basically teenagers. That's what's going on. And so the next day at the facility for the tournament, Glenn comes back and finds Zedong and presents him with a gift in return for the portrait he gave him. And it's a t-shirt that's red, white, and blue, of course, with the peace emblem flag and the words "Let It Be" lyrics from the song by the Beatles. It's a very American shirt. China doesn't have hippies. China doesn't wear red, white, and blue. China, I don't even know if they know who the Beatles are. But he presents them. This is a huge deal again. And it comes to the leaders. And they're like, we got to do something about this. And even the journalists are asking like questions. Mr. Cohen, Mr. Glenn, would you like to visit China? And of course he goes, well, I'd like to see any country I haven't been to before. Argentina, Australia, and China. Any country I haven't been seeing, I want to go see. And they asked, like, well, what about China specifically? Of course, Glenn said. He has no qualms about going to China. He just wants to see the world. Using ping pong to see the world is just an amazing idea. And that's when China offered an opportunity for the U.S. table tennis team to come and visit China. Tour China, in fact. Go to multiple different locations and tour China right after the tournament. And they said yes. The team said yes because they just thought it was a great opportunity to see more of the world and play even more ping pong with their new friends and some of the best ping pong players in the world. But then you get a call. Glenn gets a call from Tricky Dick. Just like an interview. We want you to be a spy. Write down everything you can about China, what they're doing, what's going on behind the scenes. We want to know. I don't know why he became a southern gentleman in this part. I can't help it. I don't do a Tricky Dick, but we do a southern gentleman. In China, Mao Zedong and was like, we need to make sure we are watching them. We need to learn everything about them and their culture and everything they are. And it kind of puts these two friendly combatants, Zedong and Glenn, you know, against each other a little bit. It's not like they hate each other. They're not super close friends. They just met each other on the bus and everyone blew everything out of proportion, but they, you know, want to learn more about each other. And we can begin the montage here of them traveling throughout the country. They go to 6 different cities throughout China, meeting people, getting to know the communities, doing ping pong presentations. And every time Glenn's supposed to report back to the president, he's like, they're normal. They're normal people. Yeah, whatever. It didn't help that they had a hippie guy as their spy, but they were. He's saying they're just people. Some people live in the country and live the country farm life. Some people live in the city, live the city life. It's all just like America, just a little different. A little different customs, different culture. But it is just like that. And Zedong is coming back to Mao. And I like to imagine these conversations. Like, man, he likes to wear hats. And he talks a lot about this thing called we. And we don't have that. I don't know what it is. But when he talks about we should probably get weed. Just these things that all hippies do at this time. And I just imagined him coming back to him. And Mao's like, this is just useless information. And the U.S. team ends up meeting highly ranked officials, the prime minister type person. Their structure is a little different. But they end up meeting, you know, the second in command in China. And if U.S. intelligence could want, you know, they're meeting high ranked officials, they're going around the whole country, everything they could ever want, but they have a hippie leading it, and he's not giving them any good information. He's like, yeah man, he was tall, he was a lot taller than I thought. Like, did he say anything about, you know, their policies or what they want to do about this? No, he was just a tall, he said hi, had a firm handshake, just giving him absolutely no good information. And that's what I imagine on both sides, because these are kids. These are kids playing a game, just enjoying playing the game. And you get big, bad governments wanting to use them, and they're not getting the use out of them. And in the next year, ping pong opening up allows Mao and Nixon to start communication. The U.S. to start opening up communication with each other. And they actually lift the embargo against China, the U.S. does, after this. And Nixon goes and actually famously meets with Mao. The first time two U.S. diplomats have actually conversated together in person. And they organize a way for their two countries to start to work together for the common good. And actually the next year, China sends their team over to play in the U.S., going all across the country, playing in the White House, playing in museums across the country, going to schools all over the place to just spread the game of ping pong is what they're doing. Of course, maybe they had their ulterior motives, but I imagine they came in and Zedong was doing the same thing as Glenn. He's like, they're just like us. Some live in farms, some live in big houses, some live in the city. And, you know, they're people. They're not these devilish people that were described to me as a kid. Mao gets nothing from them. Nothing from this recon mission that he was hoping. And we just show that these two men get nothing from these kids that were playing ping pong. But yet these kids become lifelong friends. And we end up, I like to imagine we end on Glenn and Zedong playing a game at the White House. And they're playing this game, and just imagine, you know, that freeze frame from Rocky, the end of Rocky, where they're hitting and it's just, you're the best. That's what I imagine would happen as to end the movie. Just kind of a simple, not following ping pong as much. Ping pong's going to be featured in the montages as much, but it's not about the ping pong. It's about two governments trying to use this game and actually use it successful to break down barriers for communication. And it's actually not the first time it's happened. It's been used in Korea and Russia and everything, because it's just a universal game that so many people can play and can be easily, you know, played against each other. No matter the skill level, no matter the clout, you can play against somebody that's under you in rank or over you in rank, and you're not going to have these issues of, oh, well, I'm too good for you. That's not how ping pong is. And it was a great way to kind of open up the world to what ping pong, and open up the world to, you know, peace, at least a little bit. Thank you for listening to this pitch. Now, executives, it's your turn. Should we make this into a movie? Should we not? What sports story do you think should be made into a movie? Let us all know at Sports Film Pitch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you would like. Just let us know what you like. We post stuff there all the time. Join the conversation. Join the love. We talk about sports movies, sports happenings going on right now, all the stuff around sports. and the film industry. You can also message us at sportsfilmpitch@gmail.com if you have anything you want to talk about, or if you just want to say, hey, Ethan, you're awesome. I would love that. We'll be back here in 2 weeks to give you another great sports film pitch.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.